Father, it is good to know that there's no ocean too deep. There's no waters too chaotic. There is no season in our lives that we can go through where you are not just with us, but you're able to make a way through the chaos. And in fact, you're a God of peace in the chaos. You are the God who controls the wind and the waves, and you are faithful to do so. And today, in the midst of the times we're in, we know that you haven't changed. And thank you for that. Thank you for being faithful. For those in our church family who are sick, for those who are stressed so bad, for those who are wrestling with anxieties and doubts, there's financial woes, relational strains, wherever they're at, Lord, I know that you are more than able to meet them and sustain them by your grace. Please be merciful to us all and lead us forward, for we trust you. And we give you praise today for being the great and amazing God that you are. And in Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'll invite our greeters today to come forward and receive our offering this morning. And as they're coming today, I want to just tell you thank you. Thank you for being a church who's generous, a church who gets behind a mission and sees the kingdom as what we're working to grow with the Lord. And as we work together and we give and we support each other, the Lord multiplies that. And so even if you're at home, you feel like, well, I'm not there and I don't feel like I'm really able to help and do much. But, you know, when you're faithful to even give a little to the Lord, the Lord can take that and he just multiply that in a wonderful way and bring about glory for his name. He just needs us to be willing. And so today we willingly give with a generous spirit. And I want to tell you, thank you for doing just that today. May the Lord bless and multiply for his good and his name that which we give today. Amen. Amen. Any of the kids that are not yet left for a kids' church, I want to invite you to leave at this time. I think we might have got about everybody that's going. So, all right. Cool. Well, good. Good, good. As we are in this time of worship, I want to tell you a part of my story. I don't know if I have shared this part of my story before, maybe to some, but in 2000, and let's see, it would have been 2005, beginning of 2005, I had to remember the years. The farther I get away, the harder it is to remember what those years were. Oh my gosh. But it was 2005, really not that long ago, which doesn't bode well for me if I'm already forgetting this kind of stuff. But anyways, in 2005, in the beginning of the year, Leslie and I decided that it was time to transition from being a junior financial analyst, which is what I was doing, in doing accounting work, which was my degree was in accounting. And we were in southern Alabama, and there we were sort of living and working. Drew was only about, he was about 18 months old or so about roughly that time, if math serves me right. And we were committed to go and take on that first church, right, that first assignment that we felt the Lord was laying in front of us. And I remember when we were doing that Leslie and I, boy, we had some conversations where we were either lying in bed at night or sitting at the dinner table and talking and asking each other, are we doing the right thing? This is a huge jump. This is a big transition. We're walking away from money and jobs. We have our own home. We have family here. We really love the culture and the environment we're at, and we're going to step out of all of that into an unknown. We don't know anybody. We've never lived in that state before. We've never been north of Indianapolis, and we're going to move to Michigan. This, like, really? Like, are we going to do this? And I remember as we were getting closer, and we were, you know, we were there, and we're going, and I had turned in my notice at my job, and we didn't yet have a place to live when we moved, when we were going to be moving to Michigan. We knew when it was, right? And we didn't have a place. Not for lack of trying. It was just a small farming town, and there just really wasn't anything available. And so we're going, how's that going to work out? Okay. In Joshua chapter 3, Joshua has been appointed the leader of the Israelites, and he's with the Israelites, and they have come to the waters of the Jordan River, and they're supposed to go into the promised land, and that's where God had told them he wanted them to go, and, you know, through Abraham made this promise, and here they are standing in front of these waters, and in Joshua chapter 3, it tells us that at that time of the year, it was probably like early spring or so, and the snow had been melting off probably Mount Hermon and running down, and the rains. And so what happens? And we know that, like, what happens to some of the rivers around here after the snow and the rains heavy for a while? Whoop, goes up. Last couple of years, we've known some of that, right? It's been a pain dealing with all that. And so they're standing here at the edge of the Jordan, and they see this and these kind of chaotic waters there because it had flooded over the normal banks. And in fact, Joshua tells us that in the story, makes the point to tell us that very fact. They know where they're supposed to go, and yet standing right in front of them is an obstacle. Something struggle, something to get over that even on a good day, like, it would kind of be a struggle to get thousands upon thousands of people to come through. But it's flooded. When you read Joshua chapter 3, it's going to feel very familiar to the story of the Exodus when Moses was leading the Israelites to come out of slavery in Egypt and go to the promised land. There's a pattern that you see in the story of Joshua that you also see in the story of the Exodus. And if you remember the story, if you know the story, and if not, I'll just share a little bit of it with you this morning, that Moses leads the Israelites and they get to the Red Sea. And the Egyptians are kind of off in the background, but they're bearing down on them to chase them down. And so you have all these thousands upon thousands and thousands of people that are moving in this direction, and they come to the Red Sea. And they can't get past it unless something miraculous, divine intervention happens. They're just at a standstill. And they know what they've got coming right behind them. And they know what lies ahead, this sense of a future with hope that lies ahead. And there they are. And I like that in the story of Joshua, much like in the story of the Exodus, that when, whether it's Joshua or Moses, gets to the edge of the waters. When you read that story, it's not by accident that we learn that Moses, with the staff, stands at the edge of the waters. And that staff was symbolic of the authority, in the sense of the power of God amongst his people. And as Moses stands there, do you remember what Moses does with the staff? And what does God then do? Do you remember? He parts the waters. He parts the waters, and they're able to walk through. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's amazing. In Joshua chapter 3, Joshua leads the Israelites to the edge of the Jordan River, and as he stands there, he has Levites take the Ark of the Covenant to the edge of the water, and then they have to put their toes in the edge of the river at flood stage. And it's as they step with their toes with the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the presence and the sense of the power of God going with his people. The pattern of the Exodus and the pattern of Joshua shows us something very similar, that where God leads, that God goes with, and God is standing out in front, and God makes a way. His presence, his priestly people, and the parting of waters. I love this pattern. It's a powerful pattern. A pattern that says, God makes a promise. And when God has made a promise, he doesn't guarantee that it's going to be easy to get through, to experience the benefits of that promise. That in fact, in these stories, people keep facing these challenges. The Red Sea, the Jordan River, the cross, the crucifixion. But in the midst of facing a challenge, God keeps assuring, I'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And the waters part. I'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. You step out by faith. I got you. I'll take care of it. And the waters are dammed up upriver, and they're able to walk across dry ground. Not muddy ground, but dry ground. Can you imagine trying to take all these people with their carts and the wheels and the animals through this muddy muck? You ever walk through a river after the water's just freshly kind of dried up, and how your feet will sink down in it, and how it's hard, and you know, you imagine with sandals trying to walk through this, you know, how it is when you walk with flip-flops on the beach. Whack. It just, you know. But God brings them through on dry ground, assuring them that he would make a way. But in each time of assurance, there's this expectation that the people of God would respond with faith. I can't even imagine walking through the Red Sea with the waters dammed up, you know, and you could just see this, and you're walking through there, and it wouldn't have been a short walk at all. And there you go. And can you imagine just looking up at that and just, whoa, the grandeur of the view. Talk about an aquarium. Yeah. You imagine walking through the Jordan River. You've just seen it. It's been at flood stage. It's chaotic waters. You've got all these people walking through. The Ark of the Covenant is about 10 football fields away. Up the river there. The water is dammed up. And everybody's just going through. I don't know about you, but in my mind, I would be hoping one main thing walking through that. I so hope this water doesn't start flowing when I walk through. It did it for my neighbors up there, but I so hope it'll do it for me. Oh, I hope I'm not the one that the dams break on and I really get, you know, it's like, well, you should have walked faster. Well, I couldn't help it. The kids wouldn't cooperate. If you're not parents yet, wait, you'll get that one day. And then that'll make you laugh. And yet the Red Sea and yet the Jordan River, that either way, that they all got through. They got through. God fulfilled his promise. He intervened and he made happen what didn't look like on the front side could really happen. But God said, I got you. I just need you to walk by faith. And I'm going to walk you through this. I'm going to guide you through this. And in fact, I will stay with you here in the midst of the waters while you go through. You see that the Levites with the ark, they stayed in the river the whole time as people were coming through. It's not by accident that Joshua tells us this. It's not by accident that the same similar things, the similar happens in the story of the Exodus, that God is with his people the whole time as they're going through. No. It's a part of a pattern. A pattern in a story. Oh, the power of a story. Oh, the power of a story. How is it that a story can be so powerful? Well, you see, a story invites you to see yourself in the story. To read that story and to look at the characters in the story and to consider where you're at in that story. And to see that the pattern of that story finds itself to be fairly similar to some patterns in your own life. And how will you respond? You see, we don't have to go back to Moses and Joshua. You see, beyond even them, God has promised a life of abundance. In the story of the garden, that is the image. It is a promise. It is a design. It's a desire. Do you realize that? That God has designed life so that you could have a life of abundance with him. That's what he designed you for. But sin has become a challenge that has gotten in the way of that. Hardships, struggles, broken hearts, aches, selfishness, pride, greed. These things are the challenges that stand in the way of that life of abundance. And you look at it and you go, you know what? That's just kind of the way it is, right? I can't make that not happen. That's just the life we live. That's the world we live in. That's the humanity that's all around us. You cannot live without facing struggles in life. I hate that. Because I don't like conflict. I don't like any of that. I don't like temptation. I don't like deception. I don't like those times when I feel like, well, you know what? I want it because I deserve it. I don't like feeling that way. Like when those things, that like I feel like I want to feel that, like I don't like that. It doesn't sit well with me. Like it comes at times. And I just don't like the way that it deceives me and tempts me to feel that I'm entitled to something. God knows that's our reality. And he assures us. You don't have to give in to that. I have more for you. I can make a way for you through that. But there's something I need you to do. I need you to take a step of faith and say no. And say yes to me. I need you to trust that I can walk you through the chaotic waters. That I know what's on the other side of the river. Because I've already put that there for you. I already know. But I need you to cross through. And let me walk and let me lead as you go. Trust me. I've got salvation for you. I have healing for you. I can sustain you. I'm more than able. I can grow you in love that is within my power. God says this is within his purview to do just that. Because he's God. Perhaps the question that sometimes we need to stop and ask is not, can I do it, but can God do it for me and through me? I think sometimes we ask the wrong questions. God, what can you do? How many of you have stories in your lives that fit the pattern of kind of what I've been, of what I've sort of been sharing already? You don't have to raise your hand, but you may have stories in your life. You go, yep, I could think back to a couple, you know, that I could share and I could tell that story. And I want to encourage us all today and for you, you know, at home this morning, hey, know your story. Know your story. Tell your story. Absolutely tell it. Tell the stories of God leading you through the troubled waters and how you're serving the Lord on the other side and he's brought you peace and hope and joy. Tell of how God has affirmed your faith. Tell of how God has inspired your hope. And don't be embarrassed to tell your story. Everybody has stories. Everybody. Sometimes we think our story is the worst. And we're like, I don't want to tell my story. Man, that'd be so bad. Don't be embarrassed about your story. Your story is your life. It's not anybody else's, it's yours. God has never asked you to ignore and to be embarrassed or to feel shameful about your stories. You see, oftentimes people can see themselves in our stories, and we don't know somebody else's outlook on life and their experiences, and so we don't know that. And so when we share our stories, folks have known what it's like to wrestle with selfishness and pride and greed and maybe lust or addiction, infidelity. They know. They might not have told you or you, but they know. And you see, they've experienced what people before them have experienced as well. And so here's the key when we tell our stories, that we would make God the hero of our stories. Because he is, right? Do you know the story of the Exodus is really not about the Israelites? And the story of Joshua and the Israelites of the Jordan, it's about them, but it's not about them, right? Isn't that the crazy thing about the Bible? It's about the people, but yet it's really not. Because the story is really about God. And so when we tell our stories, the key is to make God the hero of our stories. What did God do? That's what needs to be told. How was God faithful? How did God assure you? Where did you find peace that you know God supplied you? Make God the hero and tell that in your story. You say, yeah, but God didn't fix my problem. He doesn't guarantee to fix anybody's problems. If our basis of whether God is good is if he fixes our problems, we'll never be able to stand on that as the gospel. Because God doesn't fix everybody's problems. He does for some, but he doesn't for others. And the point is not whether he'll fix my problem, but whether he'll give me peace through the problem, and he will give me the promise of eternal life with him that he's already assured me that I have through my faith in Jesus Christ. And that with peace and hope, I can go through my troubled waters, and he has been with me. That's the point. Well, if God was good, he would have never let COVID hit so many people. That's the wrong tree to be barking up. That's not the point. It's not about what God did or didn't do to take away the troubles of the world. That's not the point of the Exodus. That's not the point of Joshua. It's a pattern of a story that tells that God is a God of abundance, and we all face challenges and struggles and sin, but God assures us that there is a way through that to live with peace as his kingdom people. And he provides a way for us to experience that. But we have to be a people who take steps of faith, not waiting for God to prove it to be, and then we'll step into the waters. But that we would step to the edge of the waters and allow God to show that he is the same God before the floods that he was in the floods. He's the same God in the darkness that he's been in the light. And that we would not doubt that what we knew to be true in the light is still true in the dark. He hadn't changed. We're just tempted to think that he has. And that's why we have these stories with these patterns that invite us to see again and again and again. No, God is the hero. And he will always be the hero. Isn't that really the message of the cross? God said, I'll make a way. He said, yeah, but we got a problem. Sin is keeping us separated from a holy God. He says, I assure you, I will make a way. And he goes to the cross. And he dies for the sins of the world. So whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then through a step of faith on our part, the righteousness of Christ is applied to us. And all who will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's made the way to fulfill the promise, as he's done so many times before. When I was in my last days of Alabama, before we moved to Michigan, we were waiting for something to open up. And we were packing, and we were getting ready to load up a trailer. And we said, you know what? If God has put it in motion, God will make a way. We got to keep moving forward. And we got to trust. And you know what happened? Man, I tell you what. God's good. Oh, and all the time. That's right, because you know what? Just literally days before we left the state of Alabama, we had a place to live. Whew! Cutting it close. Talk about stress. I'm telling you. Nerve-wracking. Nothing like having an 18-month-old baby move to a place you've never been, and you don't even know where you're going to live. This daddy was stressing. And that's not the end of the world. You see, just I don't believe that just because you stress over something, it's kind of getting to you and you're going, that doesn't mean you have poor faith. It doesn't make you a bad Christian. I think it makes you human. But it's what you do in the midst of that, because of what you know, that then says really what you believe. Right? Will you step to the edge of the waters and be committed to walk through the waters, even though you ain't seen the water stop flowing yet? But will you step? God knows the power of a pattern in a story. A pattern that can inspire people to faith and hope. And the question I think that's worth asking today is, do you? Do you know the power of a pattern in your story where God has promised you abundance through faith, and you've met challenges, and God's assured you he'd get you through, you stepped out with faith, and God made a way? Tell those stories. Help the people that you encounter to hear that the God of your life and your faith, the God of your salvation, the God who's promised eternal life, is the same God who thousands of years ago has been doing the same thing again and again and again. Let God be the hero, for he will draw human beings unto salvation by his Spirit. He will do that. You don't have to worry about whether your story is going to get somebody saved, as we'll say in the church, you know, as we've said for a long time. That's not the point of you saving somebody. The Lord will save them. But will you step to and through the waters and tell the stories that through those stories people hear that God is good all the time and all the time God is good? I beat you to it. For you see, the patterns you tell are going to prove the promises and the power of God is just as real today as it's always been. And maybe today you hear me talk about this, and honestly you would say, I've heard that before, but I've never really said, Jesus, I trust you, and would you lead me? Can I invite you, if you've never really had that awakening in your heart, if you're sensing that today, I want to tell you that's the Holy Spirit. God is inviting you to trust Him and to step to and through the waters with Him. And not only will He save you for eternal life, but He will guide you into a life of rich peace with Him. It's not going to be perfect. It's still going to have hard times. But they all have hope. And hope makes all the difference. And then tell your stories. Tell your stories. And keep telling those stories. And keep telling those stories over and over. That God will use your stories to inspire faith and hope. Will draw people to Jesus. And they'll find out that God is doing in their life what He's been doing the whole time. And they'll trust Him. That's discipleship. At the beginning. Father, I thank You that in this moment, that just in a simple way, reminder that You are the same God that You've always been. And You work in a pattern of promising and assuring, and in the midst of our own challenges, and still inviting us to be a people of faith who will step to and through the waters and will experience Your peace and Your blessings, the abundance of Your love fueling our hope in these troubled times. Would You please continue to guide us, be our light. Encourage us to trust in You with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways to follow You, and You will direct our paths. So just help us do that, Lord, as we tell our stories. They'll encourage people to put their hope in You and a good and mighty, powerful God. Amen.